reading to you from the third chapter of Revelation and the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. I've had people say, why do you say that every broadcast? Well, first of all, I want to identify with Christ, and I want to let you know that God loves alcoholics. He loves prostitutes. He loves drug addicts. He loves homosexuals. He loves you. So tonight, if you'll just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, let's see if the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 16th chapter of Matthew, and let's begin reading with the 13th verse. That's the 16th chapter of Matthew. Let's begin reading with the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came unto the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We've labeled this, whom say you that I am? First of all, Jesus takes his disciples on a retreat. Listen, friends, our Lord's demanding schedule. He made long journeys to meet the needs of people, just like he's sending missionaries and pastors and whoever, and Christians of all sorts to go out and share the good news with lost people. Well, crowds pressed and stared and they questioned him, and his debate was with critical and scheming opponents. Listen, friends, even today when I'm out witnessing to people, I don't care what walk of life they come from, they always, many of them, have an argument. Well, I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. And if he did die, I don't believe it. I don't believe he arose from the grave. Well, these are true stories. He did, in 3 days, arose from the grave. And if had that not happened, you see, he conquered death and hell when he came out of that grave. And he was seen for many days with about 500 of his disciples. And they were with him the day they ascended up into heaven. And when he was going up, there was an angel that said, why are you staring at that fella? He's coming back in like manner. And friends, listen to me. Listen to me very careful. Jesus is coming back. Do I know when he's come back? Of course I don't. Does anybody else? No. Does the Father in heaven? Yes. But he is coming back, and all the things that you look at, the signs of the times, wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, oh, I could go on and on and on. He's coming back. Now, that's the only thing left that he has to do to fulfill prophecy. But listen, he sat weary upon a well. He fell asleep in a storm one time. To cope with his load, he took many vacations. Not M-A-N-I-Y, it's M-I-N-I. Many vacations. The retreat at Caesarea Philippi was the most notable of these. Now, revelations made on this 10-day retreat. His deity was revealed and confirmed, and his plan to found the church was explained. His disciples were prepared for his approaching death, and questions raised and answered, there are still matter today. Now, here is a public response to Jesus. Verse 13. Now, when Jesus came unto the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, and they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah and one of these prophets. You know what? He could have answered every one of them, because they were a form of Christ. Listen, he said, whom do men say that I am? Now, that's a pretty good question. You know, I get so amazed sometimes when I talk to people about Jesus and try to witness to them. I get some of the dumbest answers. But I tell you, if a man don't want to believe, he ain't going to believe. You know, your belief is 12 inches from your brain to your heart. And when a man is willing, first of all, to admit that he had sinned, Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is true. We have all sinned. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that you've sinned? Well, you say, sure, Cecil, I've told a little old fib once in a while. Sure I have. Well, I got news for you. That's not the problem. It's, are you sorry for your sins? Are you willing to turn your back on the old way of life and come to Jesus as a little child? Now, the morning I was saved, you heard me testify many times, the morning I was saved, I cried like a baby. You said, you mean to tell me, Cecil, you got to cry when you're saved? I did not say that. I did. Why? Because I was such a terrible sinner. I felt like Paul. I was a chief of all sinners. I'm just so ashamed of the many things that I did while I was an alcoholic. And, when he told me, when the pastor told me that God loved me, I laughed in his face. I certainly did. I said, you'll never convince me that God loves alcoholics. No, you'll never convince me. Well, you know what he kept doing? He kept taking me to the Word. Now, when he talked about Nicodemus, the religious ruler of that day, and a leader of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, I said, you know what, preacher? I don't understand one thing that you're telling me. He said, well, I got news for you, Cecil. Jesus, the Son of God, was telling Nicodemus what he had to do to get to heaven, and Nicodemus couldn't understand. In fact, he was so stupid, he said, can I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews and do not understand that simple truth? He said, now you take the wind, it blows, but you sure don't see the wind. But when you see the trees, or you see tumbleweeds coming, you know that that is the evidence of the wind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't see him, but you see the evidence of men. Many, many times, I recall when I was preaching a revival down in Virginia one time. There was a lady there. She wore a different colored hat every Sunday to the meeting to the service. Beautiful lady, but she looked so sad. And she actually sat on the edge of the seat as I preached, and my preaching is not that good, so I couldn't understand it. One day I said to the pastor, I said, "Who is that lady with those different beautiful hats?" Cecil said, "She's a very wealthy woman." But she said, "You know," he said, not too long ago, her husband owned a beautiful big insurance company. He dropped dead with a heart attack. And said this woman had never drank a drop of booze in her life. And she started drinking to cover up her heartaches. You know, friends, that's exactly what I did in California after my mom, my dad died, and my sister. I took up alcohol trying to relieve the hurt. But I'm here to tell you, friends, it will not relieve your hurt. Not one bit. Well, the last day of the revival was on a Sunday morning. And no one came forward, and all of a sudden, here she came down to the altar, weeping her heart out. And I said, "Ma'am, what is the problem?" She said, "I heard you say night after night that God loves alcoholics, and that you were one, but you're not now." She said, "I am one, but I don't want to be one." And her and I knelt there, and that dear lady accepted Christ as Savior. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, when you come in contact with this Jesus, He will change your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new." Some said He was a glutton and a wine bibber in Matthew 11 chapter. Some said He was demon-possessed, and I read in John 7:20, the multitude answered, "You have a demon who seeks to kill you." Yeah, they said Jesus was demon-possessed. And their silence on negatives is a good lesson for us. Some thought that He was John the Baptist, especially Herod, in 14 John, the second verse, and He said to His servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and that is why miraculously powers are at work in Him." You know, John the Baptist had told this man, Herod, "Listen to me. You're living in sin. You took your brother's wife. You're living in sin." So Herodias, her daughter, was dancing that night, and they all got drunk, as they usually did. And he turned to her at his gal fed her and said, "Listen to me, whatever you want, I'll give it to you." She says, "Cut that preacher's head off and bring it to me in a platter." Well, Herod was sorry that he'd made that boast, but he couldn't renege on it. So they cut John the Baptist's head off, brought it into her in a platter. Well, you see, Herod, probably because of his strong preaching against sin, he thought that maybe Herod had returned from the dead. Some thought he was Elijah. Why? Because of his miracles, his fearless rebuking of hypocrites in high places. Some thought he was Jeremiah, his compassion and his tears. Some thought he was one of the other prophets. "But whom say ye that I am?" Verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, my stars. That was Peter's response to Jesus. "Whom do you say that I am?" Well, I want you to know, dear friends, it startled a lot of them. The disciples were forced to make a decision. Some of you tonight might not know it, but you're forced to make a decision. You're listening to the broadcast for the first time, and you're thinking, "What's this guy saying? You mean God can change my life?" Well, I'm sure to tell you He can. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter does not wait for a consensus to an answer. Thank God for those who make decisions. Peter's confession, confessing the result of more than weighing facts. there had been a work of God in his heart. You know, friends, my wife, believe it or not, did not believe that she was a sinner. Some of you tonight may think, well, Cecil, I'm not that bad a sinner, for heaven's sakes. Sure, I've lied, maybe I did something wrong, but not enough to go to hell. Listen, friends, I want you to know something. Maybe you don't know this, but God does not send people to hell. You say, well, what do I got to worry about? You sin yourself. By rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior, you're telling the world, I don't want nothing to do with him. And so you have put a verdict on yourself. You're going to go to hell because you rejected Jesus. But it don't have to be that way. Unity says, I stand with outstretched arms. He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. William Crowe once said, between verdict and confession, there lies a religious experience. Well, you know, look, I've said this many times in revivals. You can't help it tonight, but you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. What is that decision? You either say no to Jesus, or you say yes. I recall one time preaching a revival over in Burlington, Washington. There was a man, his wife was a member of our church, a member of the church I was preaching in, and he walked these high wires, you know, 150, 200 feet big towers, and he'd go up there and bolt those cables in, and they'd build these lines through the country. And I used to go witness to him, and he'd say, I knew he was an alcoholic. Oh, Mo, I just drink a little bit. I said, it's not the drinking a little bit. It's a fact that you haven't received Christ. You have not repented of your sins. That means turn your back on the old way of life. I remember one night, just before the meeting started, in fact, four people started coming in. He come to see me. We went in a chapel to sit down and started talking. And again, I assured him that I had had an experience with Jesus, that I was no longer an alcoholic. And all of a sudden, dear friends, I'm telling you, the tears started to come into his eyes. He wept a puddle of tears on the rug in that church. That night, he bowed his head and he asked Jesus to come into his heart and to save him. Well, now, friends, I want you to know, a few months later, he fell off in a high wire and killed himself. But you know what? He went to heaven. Why? Because he had repented of his sins. You remember the two thieves on the cross that died with Jesus? One said, you're not the Christ. If you were, you'd come down off that cross and save yourself and others. And the other one said, hey, mister, we're here because we deserve to be here. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Never went to church, never got baptized, never took the Lord's Supper, never joined a church, but he's with Jesus tonight in glory. Well, our personal response to Jesus in 15 verses, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are all faced with this question today? We are privileged, more privileged, I should say, than the disciples. Christ had not yet completed his ministry. He had not yet died on the cross, nor risen. But the same Lord works in our hearts to bring us to faith. Now listen to this, listen. Our Lord's response to Peter's faith, verse 18, and I say also unto you, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we receive Christ, we get on his plan for our lives. Let me ask you, what is your response to the Lord's question tonight? Whom say that I am? Well, you say, Cecil, I don't know. Let me tell you something. Tonight, God's Holy Spirit might be tugging at your heart right now. Just tugging. And you think, what's going on in my heart? I don't understand it. Maybe some tears are beginning to build up in your eyes. Well, if they are, let me tell you, friend, tears are bottled in heaven. Jesus knows your heartaches. Jesus knows your disappointments in life. He knows your emptiness, but he wants to fill that with Jesus and God's Holy Spirit. And if you're in that position right now and you'd like to trust Jesus, would you bow your head with me right now? But, oh, beloved, please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray that you'll forgive my sins, come into my heart, and save me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. Get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. Now listen, if you can't afford to call, don't you be ashamed. Just call me collect. I'll accept the charges. And I'll send you a book, Go Mo Go, and I'll send you my movie free. I'm not on this broadcast begging for money because I don't do that. My God shall supply all my needs through Christ Jesus, and he's done that. All right, I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Help me not
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear friends, for listening. Listen, I want to tell you something. God is answering prayer in my life and my wife's life. We have three services next Sunday. Won't you lift us up in prayer? We go to prison. We'll be in a women's prison and two men's services. I tell you, friends, this medicine I'm taking is really helping my lungs. Instead of using two, I only use one on my oxygen level. And I thank the Lord for it. And I attribute it to people praying for us. And I really appreciate it. Well, friends, until this next time, next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Oh, stay sweet. Keep looking up. Because, dear friends, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.